Final hour, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Joe, I would love to see a stat on how many of your rants are on something Jared said. Because
you're trying to come on here and feed his ego? Are you kidding me?
It works the other way too, though. I was pulling up a podcast episode of his last week, and it was titled "I'm Mad at Joe Rexrode." Yeah.
They really are meant for each other. Like, you know, he talks about
it. Is adorable, isn't it, Robbie?
He talks about Stilly and Pauly all the time, but I really think that those two are kind of destined for each other.
Well, if I produce their show, I can also still yell at both of them. See what I mean? Like, it actually could
To see you produce the show.
It'd be a well-produced show. What a production we'd have. No, but seriously, okay, before we get into this, I mean, it's like that are devoted to him, Robbie. It's like, what, 2%?
Oh, no.
Come on.
2%?
Yes.
Gentry, I think he's off by about 25 to 30%.
Yeah, dude. I mean, maybe not always directly. You know, it could be some interview he had, but something that happened with the Stillman program.
2%.
Okay, I'll give you 6%.
Okay. All right. So, Gentry, it looks like the Titans are going to draft Cam Ward at number one, just reading the tea leaves more than a month out from the draft here. So, number one, I guess, do you agree with that? Number two, what do you make of the way that free agency is shaped up to this point for the Titans?
I don't really have a problem with how it's gone. I feel like it hasn't been spectacular. This is a lot of the moves, I think, are the kind of moves you would see. I mean, we throw around the word rebuild pretty easily, and I don't think you can usually rebuild in the NFL. I mean, you're trying to win each year. It's just there seems to be some I'm not going to say caution, but They're making moves that I feel like are probably a little more patient, a little more reserved than some of the big swings they were taking last year. And it's probably time for that. Now, in terms of the quarterback situation, I think that's what we were all watching for. And if it is Cam Ward, I don't have a problem with that. The only issue, I think, is if you would like to think that they truly are looking at this and saying, that's our guy. We want that guy. As opposed to just saying, we got to have a quarterback and he's the best one out there. And I think that's what you don't really know yet. They're kind of evaluating this, but the more that I've looked at Cam Ward and, you know, kind of watched what he did last year and, you know, asked people about him, I don't think it's a terrible move. It's probably the right thing to do unless you just get a complete haul for trading that pick.
So have you, Gentry, I guess, where were you on, like, Cam Ward, say, you know, like, when this was just starting out? And have you, I guess, I don't know, come around, or do you have any different thoughts on him? It seems like there's definitely been some, I guess, awakening to him. And I know with the Titans, that probably has to do a lot with their actual interviews. But how has your evolution of thought on Cam Ward gone?
Yeah, you know, it comes from I spoke to Eric Morris, who was his coach at Incarnate Word and also at Washington State. He was his OC. He's now the coach at North Texas, but I talked to him. What I like about Cam Ward is there's a confidence aspect here that has allowed him to really make something of a career in which no one saw him coming. No one really thought he was going to amount to what he has as a quarterback, and I think a lot of that has to do with a self-belief in the face of a lot of doubts over the course of his career. And, you know, the coach said that he showed up at Incarnate Word the very first day. They had brought back like an All-American at quarterback. And he shows up the first day of spring ball, goes in the coach's office, says, I'm going to start for you. You know, and he had just got there. And he's coming in saying things like that. And you know, I asked the coach, I goes, well, did he start for you? He goes, yeah, he started for us. And it's – there's a lot of stories like that about Cam Ward. And when you talk to him at the combine, you kind of get that impression of a guy who truly does not feel like he's arrived. You know what I mean? Like a guy who has the chip on his shoulder, and has been doubted an awful lot in his career. It isn't a guarantee of success, but I've learned over, you tend to side with that guy because he's not going to be satisfied. And, he's been able to improve a lot over the course of his career. So I feel like there's a lot of upside still there, if that makes sense.
Gentry, knowing that it can't get a whole lot worse than what it's been the last couple of years around here on the offensive line, how much better do you think the offensive line is based on what they've done in free agency to this point?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the magic bullet to get Dan Moore at left tackle, but I feel like you're better than you were. I like the Zeitner ad. Honestly, that to me was one of the better signings they've made in a while, and I feel like it can't be worse, right? I mean, at some point they're going to have to put a line out there that is able to allow the offense to function better than it has the last couple of years. I mean, we obviously Will Levis wasn't what you wanted, but there were a lot of games in which the line and the protection could have been better, and that goes back a few years now. I think if you were really to look at why the Titans have crumbled the way they have, number one on that list. Well, it's drafting, but on the field, it's the offensive line. And they came in, and Mike Borgonzi said that was going to be a priority for us, and it was. They backed that up.
So moving to college hoop, Gentry, and before we get into it, do you have a column coming on Greg Sankey taking him to task for threatening to leave, break, and form his own tournament, and how the SEC is just propped up by fear of Greg Sankey leaving? I mean, I think that that's a pretty important topic to address.
Well, maybe so.
Well, I'll tell you this. The SEC needs to have a good NCAA tournament.
Oh, we all agree with that.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a
lot of hype out there. And I saw a headline this morning about how the SEC became the kings of college basketball. They're not the kings of college basketball yet.
That's right.
UConn was the kings of college basketball. The SEC has not won a national championship since 2012. They haven't even played for it since 2014. Joe, you were there at Bridgestone. I went around and asked that question of a lot of people just to see who knew the last time the SEC had actually played on Monday night. And not a lot of people did. It's been a minute for the SEC. They've only had three Final Four teams here in the last 10 years. So I know this season was obviously a big moment for the SEC. It was clearly the best they've ever had. But they need to go get this done in the NCAA tournament. And they need to have a team that has – they've got all these teams that everybody thinks can go win it all, so can one of them actually go do it?
No. Yeah, no, totally agree. The performance this year was what it was. It was real, but you have to back it up. Now, granted, the Big Ten's been 25 years since a natty. But still, the SEC, this is a huge moment for them. So are you going with Vanderbilt?
I will be with Vanderbilt. Yeah, I'm going to Cleveland.
What's just Vanderbilt and Tennessee right now, your prognosis for both of them? How far do you think each of them will go?
Oh, I have Vanderbilt out in the second round. Kind of a toss-up, I think, there on that first game. I don't really know what to make of St. Mary's, but I don't feel like they're going to get past Alabama in the second round. It's a pretty tough draw there. Having to get a team that you've already played and beat you pretty bad once already in that second game. As far as Tennessee, I think that one's a little tougher to gauge. I think they'll get past the first weekend, but I don't really like what it looks like for them at the regional. I think you're either going to get Kentucky or Illinois in that Sweet 16 game, and I don't think either of those are a good matchup for Tennessee. They've already played Illinois. That was a really tough game. I feel like Jordan Danny had a lot to do with why Tennessee was able to win that game at Illinois, but they were fortunate to win it. And you got a Kentucky team that just seems to have Tennessee's number. So I want to see what happens in that regional. I don't have Tennessee going to the Final Four because of that.
Well, it's going to be fun, Gentry. Looking forward to getting things rolling on Thursday in the NCAA tournament with Tennessee and then Friday with Vanderbilt. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest on Robbie and Rexwell. We'll react to what Gentry had to say there. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rexwell, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in later tonight to 94.9 The Fan for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores host Belmont. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Over the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Gentry Estes for being with us in the last segment. It was interesting to get Gentry's thoughts on Cam Ward. I've talked with Gentry a few times about Cam Ward and the quarterbacks over the course of the offseason here. And it does feel like, not just with the Titans, because I think with the Titans it's pretty clear, but there is some warming up to the idea of Cam Ward and potentially being that franchise guy, depending on who you ask. Now, look, you know, I heard what he was talking about with kind of the swagger that Cam Ward brings, right? Which is, by the way, like if you have seen some of the videos that have been out there of him and Shedeur Sanders working out together, it's pretty funny. Like they just basically sit there and roast each other the whole time, and it's pretty funny to watch. But, like, I do think, you know, sometimes that can speak to, like, how competitive people are. I love that stuff in the quarterback. And we talked about that a lot, Joe, around here in this market. Like, when Marcus was the quarterback of, like, maybe he didn't have a whole lot of that and maybe the vocal part of it wasn't really there. It's not everything at quarterback. Because I also think, like, Will Levis had a lot of that, right? Like, Will Levis, pretty vocal guy, had some of that swagger to him. We talked about, like, the idea of, man, if he ever turned out to be a good player, other teams' fan bases would hate that guy just based on the way that he, like, operates. So it's not everything when it comes to, like, the way that you approach your job. Like, you can have the right approach and at the end of the day just not be good enough, and we'll see whether or not Cam Ward is. But all the other stuff, like, based on people that talk about him and have talked to him, you like on the Cam Ward front.
Yeah. No, I think he seems to have a great, you know, kind of combination of, you know, like that swagger, that confidence, but also like he seems to be really well liked by his teammates and things like that, which I think is an important thing. Again, with Will Levis, even amid, again, remember, you know, when he was coming out, there was this, all this personality stuff, which, you know, I think the Levis and Shedeur Sanders, maybe a little cockiness, kind of, there's a little maybe parallel there more with them.
Yep.
But also, it was like, yeah, I mean, I remember writing this story and talking to all these people. And it was like, yeah, I mean, like his teammates voted him captain like 2 days into him being in Kentucky and all this stuff. And like they really liked him there. So, I mean, I thought that spoke well of him. And it did. But if you can't play well, then that stuff is.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's all. I mean, it's like if you have that and you can play well, then now you've really got something. You know, when Vrabel got here, a big knock on Mariota, even when he was playing well, was not fiery enough, not vocal enough, not like a out front leader. And I think that absolutely bothered Vrabel.
Yes.
Vrabel coming from his playing career almost exclusively having Tom Brady as his quarterback, he's like, this is not what a quarterback's supposed to be like. And Tannehill was better in that way. But mostly, Tannehill played well.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it boils down to. Like, I'm not saying the intangibles are unimportant, because they are. Like, that, you know, I think part of what made Brady great was his ability to connect with his teammates and his ability and the passion and all that stuff. But the bottom line of what made Tom Brady great was his performance on the field, right? Like, Will Levis, I still contend, has a lot of that stuff. Like, he's got a lot of the intangibles of what you're looking for in quarterback. I even think like the work ethic and the being as prepared as you can be, like I think that's there with Levis, which is part of why I think Brian Callahan, the first couple of weeks here when things went off the rails with Levis, was stunned at what he saw. And he basically heard him admit it as the year went on, which was, you know, it's one thing to take it from the classroom to the practice field. Can you take it from the practice field to the game field? And he's brought that up multiple times since then. Like, that tells me that Will Levis was doing all the right things. And on the practice field, he was applying what he learned in the film room, in the classroom, and he just couldn't do it on game day. And that's ultimately really the only thing that matters in the NFL.
I mean, that's the only logical explanation to some of the stuff he said through the offseason when he would go on various platforms and talk about Will Levis. He wasn't, he wasn't saying, you know, coach speaking, yeah, you know, we're hopeful. It was like he was excited about what he was getting on a daily basis from Levis. But it ultimately doesn't matter if you can't do it on Sunday.
Right.
And that's the thing. Cam Ward come in here, do everything right, say everything right, be awesome in practice, be awesome in the film room, and then we'll see. Yeah.
Are you a gamer?
Yeah.
Are you a gamer? I mean, he looks like he is in college. But there have been a lot of guys that look like they are in college that can't do it in the NFL.
Yeah, and Will Levis definitely looked like it his junior at Kentucky when people were saying this might be the number one pick next year. And then there were some bad game performances that last year. Bad offensive line, all the, you know, other things that were against him. But still, now you look at that, and, I mean, we were down on him.
One thing, yeah, we were. One thing I have seen from Titans fans that I don't really get, like, they're worried about, like, Cam Ward's inaccuracy. And he's not perfect, but, like, I don't think that he's got, like, huge accuracy problems, right? Like, I'm looking at his entire college career. I mean, I think 2023 is last year at Washington State. He was 66.6% completion percentage. Last year at Miami, he was 67.2, and he averaged 9.5 an attempt. So that tells you that he's got a pretty good completion rate, and he's throwing the ball down the field. Now, in college, you always have to be careful.
Those numbers,
because how many of those are inflated by lesser competition? So I get that. Like,
and
you've always got to
bubble screens.
Right. So you've always got to be like, you've always got to look deeper than just what the completion percentage says. But I don't think there's like some gigantic concern with Cam Ward's accuracy.
No.
This.
Now, if you want to get into the deeper numbers on like on target throws, Shedeur Sanders is absolutely better than Cam Ward. He doesn't have a bigger arm. He can't make some of the throws. He can't do some of the off-platform things. But consistently hitting the strike zone, Shedeur Sanders is better than Cam Ward.
Correct.
But, yeah, but I mean, Cam Ward, if we're going to compare him to Levis, that was always my biggest concern about Levis. And I think it's played out. I guess maybe the hero ball is still the bigger issue. But, like, the just missing layups.
Yes.
Has just always been a thing with him, and we saw it. If you even with all the mistakes last year, if Levis was just strike zone, on some gimmies more, you'd have some drives that would turn out differently than they did. I don't feel like Cam Ward is as big a concern in that way.
I don't think so either. Now again, it's just a different beast in the NFL, right? Like, and you know, we can talk about SEC versus Big Ten versus ACC in college football. But the bottom line is, like, you go look at the games Miami played last year. The competition wasn't great that he faced.
The ACC being bad in sports is a common theme on the show.
It seems to be a common theme on the show today. It's just not that way in the NFL. It's week in, week out. You know you're playing the best players in the world on the defensive side of the ball. And that goes back to the idea that some Titans fans have thrown out there to us today of, would it be better if he sits? Maybe so. I don't know. Like, I don't think it's a blanket statement that you can make that every quarterback benefits from sitting a year. I think there are a lot that do. I think there are some that are clearly ready to go. And I have no idea where Cam Ward falls in that stretch. I know this, based on the way their quarterback room is currently set up, if they take him at number one, he's going to have to play right away.
Imagine, like, where the Washington franchise would be, the fan base, the franchise, free agent signings, everything, where it would be if they decided to sit Jaden Daniels last year.
Yeah.
They'd just still be the trash Washington Commanders.
Yeah.
So it's just a situation. But, yeah, if you number one overall in this league,
you're going to play.
Yeah, it's how many – when's the last time – that'd be a great question. The last time the number one overall pick quarterback in the NFL draft – did not start opening day.
I believe the answer is Baker Mayfield.
Baker did not start.
But I don't think it lasted very long. Like, I think he was in by like week
two or
three.
Who was the incumbent there?
I can't remember who was there.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, again.
But I think that's the answer.
If you can do it, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but again, sometimes it's like, oh, this guy's ready to go ahead and take us to, like, playoff wins right now.
Right. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more on Cam Ward and the Titans coming up next. Robbie and Rexrow, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 93.3 FM, Totally Hits Nashville tonight for MTSU men's basketball. Blue Raiders taking on Chattanooga in the NIT tournament at 7 o'clock. Pregame beginning at 6:30. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Hyundai.com. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. 615-737-1025. One texter throwing this question out there. If the Titans didn't have the number one pick, would we be hearing more arguments about how the Titans need to trade up to go get Cam Ward? Is Cam Ward that type of guy?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I feel like one thing is if they, given their situation, their roster, their lack of draft capital, I think that right now we'd be talking about a veteran quarterback. And I think, like, I really do. I feel like not having their, necessarily having their choice there, or unless they're in love with Shedeur Sanders, but not having the power there, I think you might be more inclined to cover yourself at least, or actually try to find someone you think is good enough.
Yep.
And that it'd just be a different situation right now.
Yeah, I can see. I mean, the benefit here is not having to trade draft capital, like not having to move draft capital around. You just can stick and pick at number one.
Like, yeah, like you can talk yourself into him because you can take him at one. I don't think you could talk yourself into, we also need to give up some draft capital that we're strapped for to go get him. He's not that good. He's not that much of a sure thing. I'd be very surprised.
I would too, which again does not mean that he can't be a great player in the NFL, but there are some guys like, look, let's say, I don't know, somebody not named the Colts who had an established quarterback, who maybe that quarterback got hurt and was just out for a year, but they ended up with the number one overall pick the year that Andrew Luck was coming out. And they said, you know what, Andrew Luck's a great prospect, but we've got our guy. Our guy's in the middle of his prime. We're not drafting Andrew Luck. Like, Andrew Luck is the type of quarterback prospect where people would have moved heaven and earth to try to go get him and would have given up just an astronomical amount to go do so, right? Like, Cam Ward's not that. Cam Ward's not that type of prospect. Does that mean that Cam Ward can't be a great player? No, but he's not that type of prospect. So I think the Titans being in the position that they're in at number one overall is very beneficial to them from the standpoint of, quite frankly, where they're at with their draft picks, I don't really want them trading up and moving up to get players unless they're convinced that those guys are generational, foundational players for your franchise. They don't have the luxury to do that right now. So I guess my answer to the question would be no. Like, we would probably be talking about, yeah, just stay where you're at number four or wherever it is. Pick a good player there, go sign a veteran quarterback in free agency. We've probably been the strategy.
Like, if we were right here again, they might have a veteran QB. If they didn't, and we were sitting here with Brandon Allen, I guess we'd be saying, okay, so I guess Shedeur's their guy.
Yeah. Or Jackson Dart or whoever. Yeah.
Or Sharp for Dart.
Yeah.
Which was
that dream's not dead yet.
That's right. Maybe Jackson Dart. Maybe Jackson. Someone texted the other day, they think Dart's the first pick.
I saw that. That'd be a shocker.
I am here for that draft night.
So far today, Joe, we've had one texter say that they would not draft anyone who did not participate in the NFL Combine, which, again, would have taken them out of the running for Joe Burrow back in that draft. So there's that.
Yeah, that's got to no longer be a thing, people.
We now have one that says, Ward quit on his team in a bowl game. No way I would draft him, trade down, and get the quarterback next year. I guess my response to that would be this. Like, would we care if Cam Ward just didn't play in the bowl game? Because that's what happens now in these bowl games that are not playoff games. Like, the players just largely don't play. So is there a difference between a guy just not playing in a bowl game and a guy playing in a half of a bowl game? Like, why are we so hung up on that, I guess would be my question.
People just trying to get me to, like, fly off the handle today.
I'm just reading the text.
Yeah. The fact that he played it all in that bowl game means he did more than most guys in his position would do. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
yeah, again, now Shedeur played too, and by the way, did not play well in that bowl game. So it does happen.
Also had 0.3 seconds to set up in the pocket.
I think Bryce Young played in his last bowl game. So it's not like it never happens that people don't play in the bowl game. But I mean, we've been talking about this for the last basically 10 years in college football, where. Yeah. It's become more of the norm if you're a high draft pick, especially, that you're probably not playing in a bowl game if it's not the college football playoff.
Right. And you go back to, you know, some of the Who was the Florida State running back? Jake Butt from Michigan, too, is another guy who, you know, prominent draft picks who tore up their, you know, knees in bowl games that weren't playoff games. And it's like, you know, what? It's just not worth the risk. So, yeah, the Ward bowl game this year was a positive for him, not a negative for him.
Well, and again, like, the bottom line is, like, do NFL teams care about that? Was Cam Ward asked about the decision to play in the bowl game?
Probably.
Probably.
Because they're going to ask any question like that and see what the response is. But do they actually care when it comes down to it if you're a good enough player? Hell no.
No. So, and again, like, I'm not worried about Cam Ward, like, quitting on the Titans in the middle of the game. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, if the Titans are ever in the Pop-Tart Bowl, then, you know.
It's a great bowl.
Yeah. It is a great bowl.
I mean, Anthony Richardson, didn't he tap himself out of a game last year?
That's same. True. That didn't. That's true.
Hey, coach, need a breather.
I mean, you know, NBA point guard gets you get the last 4 minutes of third quarter off, right? Why can't we do this at quarterback? Let's normalize it.
I forgot about that. Maybe the greatest thing ever.
That is something else.
Shane, need a breather. Bring in Joe Flacco.
Oh boy!
Imagine Cam Ward doing that. It's like, hey, let's get Brandon Allen in there.
Yeah,
get him in there.
Can
for
Brandon
a few
have a series? Put in Levis.
I mean, Levis. That's one thing. Levis would never tap out of a game. He'd probably die on the field before he tapped himself out of the game.
He'd ask to go in at linebacker. Yeah. Which, actually, the Titans are a little light at linebacker. Well, I mean, we're talking about Will Levis under contract. I mean, what about – have we thought about linebacker? Penn State wanted to make him a linebacker.
They did. Maybe they were right the whole time.
Maybe.
And you could even run the occasional, you know, trick play with Levis in at quarterback. He'd have to change numbers, though. I mean, I guess he wouldn't under the new rules, but – get him in a different number than 8.
Yeah, your star right. Star defenders wear single-digit numbers now.
That's so true.
Sideline to sideline, Levis just crushing people. I mean, seriously.
We did have somebody
I give
ask.
Him a chance.
We did have somebody ask earlier, like, if Ward gets drafted by the Titans, is Warren Moon going to allow him to wear number 1? I mean, I guess he's going to have to get another number, right?
Has he worn 1, like, all through? He wear 1 at Washington State, too?
I don't know. That's a good question. Let me look that up.
That is an interesting question.
I would advise him to stay away from 8 and 10. Those would be – not that I actually believe those things, but the Titans have drafted a couple franchise quarterbacks at number 8. It's not gone well. And number 10. Vince had a brief run of success, but between him and Locker, just get a different number.
How about 11? 2 1s. And then everybody's happy.
I mean, then you're
that
kinda,
was my number. Yeah,
you're
my
following
number.
In line of, I think, Rusty Smith wore number 11, if that.
Well, whatever.
No, I'm, that's a good thing. Like, Rusty Smith. Love me some Rusty Smith.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay. 11 was my number for a lot of youth because Bobby Hebert, Michigan Panthers quarterback, wore 11. Big fan.
There you go.
The so, good professional football team in Detroit.
To answer your question, if this Sports Reference College page will ever come up. It looks like they don't have the freaking jersey number on here, so I'll find this out here. What number did Cam Ward wear at Washington State?
We will have the answer.
By the way, we were talking about the last quarterback to sit after being drafted number 1 overall. It was Baker Mayfield, and he sat briefly in favor of Tyrod Taylor, who started that season.
Yep, okay. That sounds right. So you're going back.
Didn't last
years.
Very long. Yeah. I think it was a couple games, but.
Yeah, like so then the next question, the last number 1 quarterback to sit an entire year, Goff, I think most of the year, but I think he played late too, right? I mean, it's hard to get all the way through the year.
I don't even know if his was that long. But yeah,
I think their plan, like Jeff Fisher's plan was definitely like he is not going to play this year.
Right.
But and I feel like at some point it ended.
He ended up playing, he played 7. So 7.
Okay. Yeah.
And went 0-7 during that stretch, by the way.
Yeah, that's about right.
Nice job. 615-737-1025, our phone number. It is time for Preds Pick to Click. We have our technical issues worked out. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Be the first caller. If you guess a goal scorer for the Preds tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that coming up next. Take your final thoughts for the day on Cam Ward as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight, taking on the St. Louis Blues. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock. Here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. No change in the standings last time out. Rex Road remains in first place. His competition to lose at this point. 15 correct answers. Listeners with 10. I have 7. Keys are stuck at 4. With that in mind, let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in John to the program. John, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
It'll be Forsberg.
Going with Philip Forsberg. John, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Philip Forsberg, the selection by John. Nick Kieser, you're up first. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Do you have it penciled in already, Robbie?
I do.
What is it?
Michael Bunting.
Nope.
Ah, okay. All right.
Why don't you go with him, since you already wrote it down?
Well, I might. We'll see. Okay. I thought for sure that's where you'd go.
No. No, I'm going to go with one Jonathan Marchessault this evening.
Okay. Forsberg, Marchessault off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click for the Preds.
I'm just going to keep going with Colton Sissons until he scores.
Okay. Going with Colton Sissons. You know what? Screw it. I'm going Michael Bunting.
Yeah! Let's do it, man.
Forsberg, Marchessault, Sissons, Bunting. Definitely the first time that combination's been chosen.
Yes. We're getting some.
Bunting's been here for a week and a half. So.
Yeah. Well, we've had a few new combinations this year that have never happened before. By the way, you were dead on accurate about the weekend, the Ofer weekend, kind of getting back
I'm
on,
fairly
getting back on track.
Fairly certain I went 6-0 in weekend winners.
Oh, geez, really? Yeah. Oh, boy.
Pretty sure I went 6-0.
Well, good. Then this is even more urgent that you buy pizza soon.
Yeah, we really need to figure that out, huh?
Yeah.
How about that? Final thoughts on Cam Ward and the Titans. Looks like he's going to be number one pick at this point. We'll see. By the way, if you're looking for jersey number, he did wear number 7 at Incarnate Word. And according to the YouTube chat, has said if he can't wear 1, he'll wear 7. So, there you go.
Okay.
Legends of Malik Willis and, like, Billy Volek.
Yeah, now you get the Titans. There's always somebody.
Yeah.
Billy Volek and Malik Willis. Wow. What a pantheon.
Hey, FanDuel Sportsbook put out, like, their top 10 backup quarterback list. I saw this yesterday. Malik Willis at number 10.
Where's Mason Rudolph?
I don't know. I have to go find it. But they do have Malik in the top 10.
Okay. That's
not that really means anything, but that's what FanDuel Sportsbook put
what it means is, again, if you're saying someone is like a top 10 backup, remember, look at the whole list of backups. That's how Malik Willis could be considered a top 10 backup.
Hey, Malik Willis came in there, won some games last year.
He did. You got to give him credit.
Including against the Tennessee Titans.
That he did.
In a game that I'm not sure anybody around here will ever forget.
No, that was one of those moments. Inflection point, you might call it. But, good for him. It is cool to see him because that was, to me, the whole thing. Can he lock himself into this league as a QB2? And he has. And that's an achievement. I mean, that is an achievement.
I need to find this list again and see if Brandon Allen's on it. I'm going to guess he's probably not, but I need to find the list.
Give me the Brandon Allen versus Mason Rudolph rank comparison.
I found it. All right, top 10 backups in the NFL. According to the FanDuel Sportsbook. Kirk Cousins at number 1.
Oh,
makes sense.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones at 2. Zach Wilson at 3. Joe Milton at number 4, baby.
What?
I'm just telling you what the list says. Joe Milton at 4. Marcus Mariota at 5. Tyson Bagent at 6 in Chicago. Tyrod Taylor at 7. Minshew at 8. Spencer Rattler at 9. And Malik Willis at 10. No Rudolph. No Brandon Allen.
And it doesn't go past that?
No.
Okay. Joe Milton.
Joe Milton.
Dude, I listened to Unsports-ish.
Unsportsmanlike.
This morning, and Evan said that I think he said the Giants' answer at quarterback should be trading for Joe Milton.
Oh, yeah. I'm here for it.
I mean, I'm a Joe Milton fan, okay? But my God.
Look, man, we've got one game of sample size in an NFL regular season game. And by the way,
he was very good.
You want to know why the Titans are picking number 1 overall? That guy. Right there.
That's right.
Just went out there and just destroyed people for the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, hey, he was very good in that game.
He was.
Big fan, but people. If he's the fourth best backup in the NFL, he's not. But, like, the fact that he would even be on that list does kind of tell you what we're dealing with when we're talking about backup quarterbacks.
Right? I mean, the comments here are awesome. People are like, Gardner Minshew is not better than Malik Willis. It's hilarious.
Wow.
Malik Willis has come a long way.
People can get yelling and angry about anything, can't they?
They can. They can.
This show is proof positive.
That does it for us today here on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.